Give him adoration. Magnify his name. Father, thank you. Because this is pointed at my own testimony will arrive. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, faithful one. Thank you, mighty God. Give you all glory. Give you all praise. And we give you all adoration. Blessed and blessed and blessed be your name, Lord. Thank you, eternal Father. In Jesus' most marvelous name, we have given thanks. In Jesus' precious name, we have given thanks. Genesis chapter 7 and verse 11 talks about the windows of heaven being open. The windows of heaven's been opened, and it happened in the second month. It says, in the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the windows of heaven were open. This month, the windows of heaven will open over your life. And it shall be showers of blessings. I said it shall be showers of blessings for you. If that is you, congratulate yourself first. You say, congratulate myself, because it shall be showers of blessing. And then congratulate your neighbor now for me. Congratulate your neighbor. Tell your neighbor it shall be showers of blessings for you. It shall be showers of blessings for you. This month, you will experience the shower in Jesus' marvelous name. Father, speak to us again and let your name be glorified. Bless your people again and let your name be exalted. Thank you, Holy One. In Jesus' most glorious name, we have prayed. Help me congratulate your neighbor again on your right and left. And please, you may be comfortably seated. Glory to God. The few minutes that we have, we're going to be looking at this morning, unveiling the wonders of genuine love for God. Part 1B, unveiling the wonders of genuine love for God. And I said, for anything, for it to be called wonders of genuine love, that means there must be fake love. And so we understand that for everything that is genuine, it means it has fake. For example, diamond. There is genuine diamond. And there is genuine, there is fake diamond. There is genuine gold. There is fake gold. I said there are genuine handbags and shoes, designer shoes and bags, and there are fake ones also. In the same way, that means there can be genuine love and there can be fake love. Love can be genuine. Love also, if there is a genuine one, means there is a fake one, and love can be fake. There are professionals that will recognize a diamond from afar and know that this is diamond. They understand and they also recognize, no matter how you try to convince them that your diamond is real, they tell you it's fake. There are those who recognize from afar real gold. And there are those, no matter how it's shining, and you tell them that it is gold, they know and you know it is fake. Glory to God. There are those who will recognize designer shoes and bags already and know that this is real. And when they see the fake ones, they know that it is fake. In the same way, we cannot lie to God about the genuinity of our love for him. He can see the fakeness from afar. If it is genuine, he will notice it. If it is fake, he will see it from afar. Glory to the name of the Lord. So, why love? Why love? Because love is the engine room for everything that works in the kingdom. Whatsoever works in the kingdom, love is working it. Love is working it. Without the engine, it will not work. The reason it is working is because love is at the root of it. For anything to work in this kingdom, love must be at the root. 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 1. He says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not love, he said, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, he says, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not love, he says, I am what? Nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not love, he said, it profited me nothing. And then the TLB gives us a better interpretation. It says, if I have the gift of being able to speak in other languages without learning them, and could speak in every language there is in all of heaven and earth, but didn't love others, he says, I will only be making noise. He says, if I had the gift of prophecy and knew all about what is going to happen in the future, knew everything about everything, but didn't love others, what good would it be? Would it do? Even if I had the gift of faith so that I could speak to a mountain and make it move, I would still be worth nothing at all without love. If I gave everything I have to the poor, to poor people, and if I were burned alive for preaching the gospel, but didn't love others, it will be of no value whatsoever. In other words, this is so serious because it's simply saying, even in my covenant responsibility to the kingdom, in preaching the gospel, if love is not at the root of it, he says it profits me nothing. Everything that works in the kingdom works by love. Works by love. And that tells us how powerful love is. For example, power works by love. Power works by love. Nobody will empower you if you are a wicked person. Glory to the name of the Lord. 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 1. It says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity or love, I am become a sounding brass or tinkling cymbal. The word of God works by love. Verse 2 of the same scripture. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not love, I am nothing. Giving works by love. Verse 3, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not love, it profited me nothing. Now, verse 8 tells us how powerful love is. Apart from all these things working by love, it says love never fails. Love cannot fail. Whether prophecies, they will fail. Whether tongues, they will cease. Whether knowledge or word, it will end. But love can never fail. Love is the engine room, or love is the oil that keeps them running. Everything working in the kingdom, love is the oil that keeps it working. Again, we also understand that the covenant of Scripture delivers on the platform of love. Every covenant of Scripture delivers on the platform of love. Matthew 22, 36 to 40. Master, he said, they were asking him, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto them, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. And then he said, this is the first, and it is the great commandment. It is not just the first, it is the great. And he said, let's take a look at the other one. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. He said, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. And I got a better understanding from New Living Translation. He said, teacher, which is the most important commandment in the law of Moses? He said, Jesus replied, you must love the Lord your God. Take note of that word, must. You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. And then he said, this is the first and the greatest commandment. And they said, a second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. The entire law and all the demands of the prophets are based on these two commandments. So like I said on Wednesday, the law commands that we love God and love humanity. So what does that mean? It means love is the first commandment. Love is the second commandment. Love is all the commandments. Love is the first. Love is the second. Love is all. For any of those scriptures to work, love must be at the root. Love must be at the root. But please, as we move on this morning very quickly, let's take note. Take note, love is a choice. Love is a choice. Nobody came to the earth loving. Love is a choice. And nobody can be forced to love. You cannot be forced to love. Love is a choice. Love is the choice we make. I said in the first service I've shared before, if your lover is in Edmonton and you are driving there 3 times in a week, you drive there 3 times in a week, 3.5 hours there, you spend just 30 minutes there, you come back 3.5 hours again. Why? Your lover is resident there. People ask you, how can you be driving to Edmonton? I just, Edmonton there is not far at all. Once you hit the highway and then you go like this, you go like that, you have already got into Edmonton. And the person said, what about gas? How much is gas? Once I pump the fuel, the gas, and the tank is full, the next time I will buy again is no problem at all. Why? Because your lover is resident there. Now your lover has moved here. And here is your friend that wants to, after 2 weeks that you stop going there, your friend now says, oh, you remember how you used to go to Edmonton? Please, I need to go. And I don't know, I don't like that road. Can you drive me? To where? To Edmonton. Edmonton is far. Edmonton is far. In fact, do you know how much they are buying gas? The reason is simple. Your lover is no longer resident there. So you don't have anything attaching you to the place. You don't have anything at stake. You don't have anything attaching you to the place. It's a choice you make. The 3 times you are going there per week when your lover was there was a choice you made. You make a choice to love. We cannot be forced to love. Glory to God. I say glory to God. And when we are in love, the person in love will know. The person you love will know. The person in love will know. The person you love will know. John 21:15-17. So when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than this? He said unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love you. You know that I love you. He said unto him, feed my lambs. He said to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He said unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He said unto him, feed my sheep. He said unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he asked him the third time, lovest thou me? He said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. And then he said, feed my sheep. The day your lover begins to ask you of the quality of your love, it means something is wrong. The day your lover begins to ask you questions, are you even sure you love me? Are you sure you love me? That means check your genuinity of your love. Glory to the name of the Lord. The lover will know, the love, how can I say it now? The one in love will know. The one that is loved will know. So God sees the genuinity of our love. And if it is not genuine, it has no reward. But once it is genuine, once it is confirmed as genuine, then he places a reward on it. Just like your diamond. Once it is tested and confirmed, then there is a price paid on it. Glory to the name of the Lord. I said, glory to the name of the Lord. Paul said, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? He says, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. He says, nay, in all of these things, we are more than conquerors by the one that first loved us. Now, very quickly, what wonders are in genuine love for God? If our genuinity or love for God has been confirmed, what wonders are in it? Number one, love gives us access to revelation. Love gives us access to unusual revelation. You only tell your lover your secrets. I said in the first service, there are parking lot friends who know nothing about your life. They don't even know your name. They see you, you meet at the parking lot, and you call yourselves buddy, buddy, my friend. He doesn't know where you live. He doesn't know your name. You live in the same compound. You live in the same apartment building, but he doesn't even know the number of your apartment. Those are friends. There are living room friends, such that when they come, they don't go past the living room. They don't even know your kitchen. If they want to use the restroom, they have to take permission to go there. They are still your friends, but they are living room friends. But there are those that, as they are coming, they are going to your kitchen first. Glory to God. You can't stop them because they are your lovers. As a matter of fact, from the kitchen, you are taking them to the room. Wait, before you eat, there is something I want to tell you. I need to tell you something. You take them to the room and you divulge secrets to them. Those are your lovers. So there are categories of friendship. There are those that will not pass the parking lot. There are those that will only know the living room by privilege. There are those that can never enter the bedroom. And there are those that permanently are in the bedroom. As a matter of fact, the ones that you live with, that you live in the same apartment, didn't know you traveled. The one living in not territory knows you have traveled. Why? Communication. Because he's your lover. The one you are living with is asking, oh, I haven't seen you in a long time. When you meet again at the parking spot. Where have you been? Oh, I traveled. I went to the Northwest Territories. Oh, I didn't know that. No wonder I realized I've not been seeing you. Meanwhile, the one in the Northwest Territory or somewhere else in outside of Canada knows that you traveled. John 15:15. Henceforth, I call you not servants. For the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known to you. Secrets that my Father told me, I will tell you, my lover. I will tell you everything. 2 Peter 1:3, he says, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that called us unto glory and virtue. The revealed secrets is the reason for our triumph. He reveals secrets to us for us to triumph in life. Secrets to us. The secrets that are revealed to lovers is what turned the lovers' stories around. Somebody's story is changing this time. In the name of Jesus Christ. Number two, what wonders are in genuine love for God for us? We are empowered to walk in dominion. We are empowered to walk in dominion. Love promised us dominion. 1 John 4:8. It says, he that knoweth not, he that loveth not, knoweth not God. For God is love. So God is love. Now look at what he said. Because God is love. In 1 John, now in verses 16 to 18 of the same scripture. And we have known and believed the law that God had to us. What? He says, God is love. Repeating it there. And he that dwelleth in love, dwelleth in God. And God in him. If we are in love with God, it means we are inside God and God is inside us. Is that dwelleth in love, dwelleth in God and God in him. So if there is any closed door to that person because God is in him, is there a door that can shut against God? As the door is opening up for God, God, the door is opening up for love. That means the door is opening up to you. That's what love does. Everyone walking in love is walking in God and God in him. He said, if dominion lives in us, that is, he is dominion. So when we return to him in love, he gives us the first promise. Genesis 1:26. And God, that is love, said, let us make man in our own image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion. Let them have dominion. When love dwells in us, then we regain our dominion. He said in Ephesians 3, 17 to 18, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend all things. So when those who dwell in love dominate, those who dwell in love live in dominion. Love with God, that is love in him. When we are in love with him, he says he will come in us. Love that comes inside us. That's why the Red Sea parted. Do you know who the Red Sea parted for? The Red Sea parted for love. And as the Red Sea was parting for love, the Red Sea was parting for the people of God. Psalms 114 verses 1 to 7. It says, when Israel went out of Egypt, the house of Jacob from a people of strange language, he said the sea saw it and fled. He said, Judah was his sanctuary and Israel his dominion. The sea saw it and fled. He says, and Jordan was driven back. The mountains skipped like rams and the little hills like lambs. What ailed thee? O thou sea that thou fleddest, thou Jordan that thou was driven back, ye mountains that ye skipped like rams and ye little hills like lambs, tremble thou at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the God of Jacob. The sea said, the sea didn't see the children of Israel, the sea saw love. And because the sea parted for love, the children of Israel, he made a highway for them on the high seas. For love. Why? The sea saw love coming. And the sea parted. That's how every barrier on your path will be parting for you this time. Everything bows to God. And so when we are in love with God, that means God is in us. And when we are in love with him, everything that parts for him will begin to part for us. Next one, we are empowered for wisdom from above. We are empowered for wisdom from above. We all need wisdom to triumph in life. And I said in the first service, please take note, wisdom is not a function of age. Wisdom is not even a function of experience. Wisdom is the supernatural manifestation of heaven's mind on the earth. The manifestation of heaven's mind on the earth. Take note again. Heaven's mind will never make sense to the natural mind. But heaven's mind makes sense to heaven. And if anything must work for you, you use heaven's mind. Wisdom from above. Saul, the most handsome king of Israel, lost his throne to foolishness. 1 Samuel 13, he said, and 13 to 14, and Samuel said to Saul, thou hast done foolishly. Thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee. For now the Lord would have established thy kingdom upon Israel forever. But now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord had sought him a man after his own heart, and the Lord had commanded him to be captain over his people. Lack of wisdom. He began. Everything God tells him to do, he preferred the people more than the people God sent him to. More than the God that sent him. He preferred the people more than the God that sent him. Hey, go to this place, fight there, kill everybody, kill everything. Don't take anything from there and then return. But Saul took some things, and when he was asked, why did you do that? He says, it's the people. The people said they need to sacrifice to you. As the man of God was still telling him, the obedience is better than sacrifice. Again, he said to him, as they were waiting for the man of God again to come and to come and sacrifice. Saul said, the people will soon be leaving. I don't want them to leave me. He went there and started doing the sacrifice by himself. And the prophet came again. Why is it that you don't listen? Why are you doing that? He says, it's the people. I don't want them to leave. And as he said, then the man of God declared, the kingdom would have stayed with you forever, but it will not stay with you forever. And the man of God was about to leave. He held the man of God's skirt again. And the wind, prrr. Why? He said, please don't go, because the people will think that you are angry with me. The people will think you are angry with me. God, then the man of God finally said, the way you have torn my skirt, that's how God has torn the kingdom from your hand. You can never get it again. But look at David, a man full of wisdom, filled with wisdom. As a matter of fact, wisdom took David to the throne. Wisdom from above. We need it. 2 Samuel 14:20. He says, to fetch about this form of speech, hath thy servant Joab done this thing, and my Lord is wise. That's speaking about David. My Lord is wise according to the wisdom of an angel of God. David's wisdom was compared to the wisdom of an angel. According to the wisdom of an angel of God, to know all things that are on the earth. That's why I believe Solomon, with his small common sense, before wisdom came, studied the life of Saul, studied the life of his father David, and knew that Saul died of foolishness. David was called and referred to as his wisdom as the wisdom of an angel. So when opportunity came, Solomon said, give me wisdom. That's what I need. Give me wisdom. And God said, okay, because you have asked for wisdom. Wisdom does not walk alone. There are things that are attached to wisdom. Because you have asked for wisdom, every other thing associated with wisdom will come to you. And God said, and the speech pleased the Lord, verse 13, and the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing, 1 Kings 3:10-13, God bless you. And God said unto him, because thou hast asked this thing and had not asked for thyself long life, neither hast asked riches for thyself, nor asked for the life of thine enemies, but hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment. Behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and an understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee and after you. And I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked for, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee all thy life. What was Solomon's qualification? Verse 3, and Solomon loved the Lord. Solomon loved the Lord. Love for God delivered wisdom into the hands of Solomon. From today, you will not walk foolishly again. In the name of Jesus Christ. What wonders are in genuine love for God? Number 4, we never fail in the journey of life. Why? Because love never fails. Everyone walking in love is walking in wisdom, and their love, the wisdom will never fail. Their love will never fail. Lovers of God never fail. What does that mean? Because their failure simply means their lover has failed. Their failure means their lover, God, has failed. And can God fail? God cannot fail. Love cannot fail. 1 Corinthians 13:8, it says, charity never faileth. Love never fails. It says, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. But love never fails. CEB translation, love never fails. Fails. As for prophecies, they will be brought to an end. As for tongues, they will stop. As for knowledge, it will be brought to an end. But love never fails. Glory to God. He said, enlarge thy tent. Lovers of God, God never fails them. You heard that testimony this morning. Hey, we've been waiting and waiting and waiting. He may be to you. He may appear like he's late, but he can't fail. It may appear that it's getting late, but it comes right on time. You know, there are things I've asked God for before that I thank him later that he didn't give me at that time. That my life would have been messed up if he had given me what I asked him for some time ago, many years ago. It is after he has done it that you realize, oh, no wonder that he took his time to do it. He will not lie. He may be late as far as you are concerned, but he cannot fail. Love never faileth. In your own case, it won't fail for you. So when we are talking about open doors, believe it that this week, doors will be open to you. I said, believe it that this week, doors will be open to you. Unusual doors that you don't know will be supernaturally opened for you. Concerning your immigration challenge, open doors in the name of Jesus Christ. Concerning your health, open doors in the name of Jesus Christ. Concerning your career, open doors in the name of Jesus Christ. Concerning your business, open doors in the name of Jesus Christ. Concerning your children, open doors in the name of Jesus Christ. Love never fails. It will not fail. So he told the barren woman, go and enlarge your tent because children are coming. Go and enlarge your tent, the place of your dwelling. Isaiah 54, enlarge the place of thy tent. Oh, he said in verse 1, oh, sing barren, that thou didst not bear, break forth into singing. Cry aloud. Why am I rejoicing? Because of what I'm about to do. Because I won't fail. I might be late according to what you think, but I won't fail. You know that Isaac that was brought to the altar now may be better than 10 times the one that they had 11 years ago. And that will be his testimony. Amen. In the name of Jesus Christ. They said to the man, Elizabeth's husband, they said, why am I not getting? He said, no, you can't get pregnant now. No matter what you do, you can't get pregnant. Why? Because one has to come 6 months after you are pregnant. He is going to be the crier of the one that is coming. And it is not yet time for him to come. So when the time is coming for him to come, then you will also be pregnant. Glory to God. You will also be pregnant. And your child is not an ordinary child. He is going to be the crier of the King of Glory. Hey, there is one that cometh after me, whose shoes I'm not able to bear. You can't rush God into doing your things. If you love him, wait for him. He can be late as far as you are concerned, but he cannot fail. Say to your neighbor, God cannot fail. Say to your other neighbor, God cannot fail. Even when the enemy thinks he has won over your life, God says he's actually working for you. He's working for you. 1 Corinthians 2:9. All things work together, but as it is written, I hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that truly, genuinely love him. The enemy thinks he has won, but he says he doesn't know that he's working for you. He's working your walk. Hey, Joseph, they threw him into the pit. They threw him into the pit. Why are you hating this boy like this? Well, you are walking his dream for him. You are walking his dream for him. Anything that is against you is coming around for your favor. Amen. Somebody rise up on your feet. Give God thanks and glory this morning. Give him honor and adoration this morning. Exalt and magnify his name. Father, we thank you. Open doors on every side. Open doors in every area. Open doors in the name of Jesus Christ. Open doors in the glorious name of Jesus. Open doors so that your name might be exalted. Open doors so that your name can be glorified. Thank you and thank you and thank you. In Jesus' most glorious name we have prayed. Amen. Psalm 24 verses 5, 7 to 10. Let me show you what open doors is. Psalm 24, verses 7 to 10. He said, lift up your heads, O ye gates. Be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and love shall come in. He said, who is this love? The Lord, strong and mighty. The Lord, mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. And be ye lift up ye everlasting doors. I said, love shall come in. He said, who is this King of Glory? Who is this love? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of Glory. The Lord of hosts. He is the King of Glory. The Lord of hosts is love. So every time, all we need for open doors is just to have him carry him. How do we carry him? When we are in love with God. When we are in love with humanity, when you are in love with God, you carry him. So as you are coming, the doors will be opening up to him, the one inside you. That's why you say, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. So as the door is opening to the one inside you, guess who the door is opening to? I didn't hear you. You are coming now with the prime minister. You are coming with the prime minister to a place. And then there is a barrier. You are coming to the prime minister is coming. And prime minister is in front. You are just holding on to him so that he doesn't mistakenly, Hallelujah. His step does not mistakenly Hallelujah. Miss you. As the security is opening the door to him, and he goes, and you are still there, say, no, we are together. We are together. You are not going anywhere. We are together. What does that mean? As the door is opening up to him, the door is opening up to you. He said when Peter came, there was an iron gate. They said there is an iron gate. He says, but as he was approaching, because there was an angel in front of him, as they were approaching the iron gate, the Bible says he opened out of his own accord. And Peter was wondering, what's going on here? Why? Because you carry love. Love is in front of you. That's why the door is opening to you. Every shut door against your destiny will open up to you today. Yeah. Every shut door against your life, against your business, against your career, against your children, against your family, against your marriage, in the name of Jesus Christ, every door is opening up to you. Yeah. No door will be able to shut against you again. In the name of Jesus Christ, so shall it be. In Jesus' marvelous name we pray. How many believe it? Glory to God. Celebrate it. So what he says, make, go and make a tent of enlightenment.